Our New Testament reading today is from the book of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 31 to 46. When the Son of Man comes to his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or needing clothes, or sick, or in prison, and did not help you?" He will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Our Old Testament reading is from the book of Ruth, chapter 2, verses 5 to 13. Boaz asked the overseer of his harvesters, "Who does that young woman belong to?" The overseer replied, "She is the Moabite who came back from Moab with Naomi. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters.' She came into the field and has remained there from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter." So Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with the women who work for me. Watch the field where the men are harvesting, and follow along after the women. I have told the men not to lay a hand on you. And whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled." At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground. She asked him, "Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" Boaz replied, "I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord," she said. "You have put me at ease by speaking kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servants." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you so much, Sharon. So we are continuing in this series we've been on called Fresh Expressions, where we look at instructions from the Bible, and then we look at examples, both from the Bible and from everyday life, of how these are put into practice. But first, let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you. We thank you for Matthew, for Ruth, for Boaz, for all of those who have come before us, for the examples that they have set and the instructions they have left. Help us, God, to hear your word and to hear how to apply it into our lives today. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, O God, our rock and redeemer. Amen. So I don't know if any of you heard this story, but back in June, a South African pastor announced to the world that Jesus was coming back on Rosh Hashanah this year. Now, normally, a pastor from halfway around the world wouldn't necessarily make a big impact, but it's 2025, which means we now have TikTok. And so his interview and his prediction went on to TikTok and then spread around the world. There were people who reportedly quit their jobs and sold their possessions and readied themselves for the end of the world. Now, Rosh Hashanah was September 23rd and 24th, and as you will see, the world is still here. This is by no means the first time that somebody has predicted that the world is going to end. Other dates that have come and gone include September 6, 1994, February 13, 1925, October 22, 1844, February 1, 1624, and back and back and back, even to the year 500, which was predicted by some of the early church fathers, primarily based on the dimensions of Noah's Ark. There is something about the second coming of Jesus who, for Christians, has been fascinating. And there is this desire, even this need by some, to know when it's going to come. And that did not start with us. It started probably even before this, but certainly with Jesus' followers. So back in Matthew 24, before we get to our story, Jesus' disciples ask Jesus, "Tell us when this will happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age." They really wanted to know how long they had to prepare. And so the next two chapters, are Jesus' response to this question. And he starts by warning them and saying, if anybody says they know the date, be suspicious. Do not allow yourselves to be deceived. And Jesus says, nobody knows the date. I don't know the date, Jesus says. Only the Father in heaven knows the date. So be careful about assuming you know when it's going to come. And then he tells three parables. He tells a parable about making sure you're ready, the parable of the 10 virgins. He tells a parable about using the gifts you've been given by God well, the parable of the talents. And then he tells this parable of the sheep and the goats. This is Jesus' answer to their question of how will we know that you're coming and when will it be? And his answer is, you're asking the wrong question. If your focus is on when the final day is coming, you've asked the wrong question. Your focus is on the wrong period of time. And Jesus tries to bring them back to where they are now and who they are now. And what he does, as I explained to the kids, is he separates. It says it separates all the people of all the nations of the world into two groups. And he doesn't separate them based on denomination. He doesn't separate them based on country of origin or any other criteria that is integral to how we are born. He separates them based on how they treated the least of these. And he calls them sheep and goats. And he says, sheep, you are just. We often hear it in the English. We translate that Greek word as righteous. which I think has become more and more of a problem because I think today we hear righteous and sometimes we think self-righteous, which is not a good thing, or we think of our individual behavior. But really, the Greek word encompasses justice. And I think we lose out today when we don't recognize that. God says the sheep are the just, the ones who notice those who are being ignored and maltreated by society, and they do something to help them. They can't necessarily change the government or the society or the world, but they can offer them a sandwich or a cup of water or a visit when they're lonely. And Jesus says, this is how I'll know who my people are. Now, there's two things I want to clarify before we think about what this looks like for us today. One is, it's important to recognize actions can't save us. Only the grace of Jesus saves us. Only the grace that is freely given saves us. But we have a whole book called the Book of James that talks about how if our faith shows no action, if the faith that we have does not change anything about how we behave, probably our faith may not be genuine. And Jesus says the same thing here. Our actions demonstrate our faith. They don't save us, but they show it. And while Jesus does not separate the sheep and the goats based on doctrine, on what we believe, that's not to say what we believe doesn't matter. Because our beliefs and our actions are intertwined. And our actions will come out of what we believe, just as our actions will show what we truly believe. There's the things that we say and the things that we believe, and they're not always the same. And Jesus says our actions will show us the difference. And again, all of this came from the disciples' question. Jesus loved to do this. The disciples or the crowds, they would ask a question, and Jesus would redirect them. He wouldn't say you're wrong to ask the question, but he would answer it in a way that made it clear they were asking the wrong question. So instead of wondering when the end will come, we're invited to think about what it means to prepare ourselves now. So what does that look like in practice? Well, first we have the example of Ruth and Boaz. Ruth is a lovely little book. It's a fascinating book about this family that left their home to escape a famine. And then the sons of that family got married to women who were local to where they had moved. And then both the sons and the father died, and there were no children, leaving three widows. And the mother, Naomi, tells her daughters-in-law to go back to their homes. And Orpah chooses to do so, which is her right, and certainly what Naomi expects. But Ruth says, no, I am going to go with you. And when they get back to Bethlehem, Naomi is basically, her grief has made her useless, which is not an uncommon response to grief. She is paralyzed. She's unable, to do much of anything. So Ruth decides, well, if we're going to be saved, I need to go out and I need to find us some food. And so off she goes. And the Bible says she chanced upon this field, which is often code for God led her to this field. And she started to glean. And the people who were there, the men who were in charge, were impressed about how hard she worked. And so when the owner of the field, Boaz, came, they told him who she was. And so we see this beautiful cycle of loving kindness in the book of Ruth. Ruth loves Naomi, and so she goes and goes to find them food. She takes care of Naomi's needs when everybody else has left her on her own. She's being a sheep. And she goes and she starts to get food, expecting nothing other than hopefully to get food. And Boaz sees her kindness and offers it, responds to it with kindness of his own, and promises her protection, which was not guaranteed for her, promises her water when she's thirsty. Boaz, too, is being a sheep. And then that cycle is completed when Boaz and Ruth marry. And they have a child named Obed. And Obed is the grandfather of King David. And so out of this cycle of loving kindness that we see in Ruth, we get King David, the one who wrote the psalm that we read today, along with many others, who was an example of a king who was after God's own heart. All of that from a choice to be kind. So what does that look like today? Most of the weeks I've been picking these other organizations that are alive and working today, but since it's our anniversary, I thought I'd look back to an organization that was started in 1969 by this congregation and four other congregations in the area, which was the Queensway Social Action Group. It desired initially to help two groups, to help underrepresented children get a head start in their education before they headed off to school, and to help seniors who were lonely and needed extra help. So if you would put up the first slide. This is our annual report from 1987. It looks a little different from our annual reports today. But this on the side, and I don't expect you to be able to read it all, is the report from the Queensway Social Action Group. And this is actually reporting on the beginning of the food cupboard that opened on the old fire station that is just up Parkdale. And you can still see the fire station, although it's no longer the food cupboard. Now, the Queensway Social Action Group no longer exists today. It stopped sometime after 2012. But if you look at the next slide, these organizations continue to work in this community. The food pantry became the Parkdale Food Center. The support for seniors became the Ottawa West Community Support that is up on Wellington. And that Head Start preschool is still in Parkdale United Church. And now there are programs all across Ottawa that help young children from low-income families get a start before they head off to kindergarten. There's a legacy there that comes from a desire that came out of the session and the people of this congregation many, many years ago that continues to support and bless those who are otherwise neglected in our community. Thank you, Rob. I am really proud of the work that our mission and outreach committee does in this church. We are a small group, and yet it is incredible. You saw it from some of those pictures, some of the things we've done, giving out candy on Halloween, preparing those bags for the youth that are part of the Youth Services Bureau, giving gifts to children of those who are incarcerated. Many of those things we see in that list of sheep happen through our Mission and Outreach Committee and through your support. And I think what we are invited to do is always be asking, is that what is next? Are we called to continue with the same groups that we are with? Are we called to be invited into something else? Some of the work we've been doing with the Cornerstone Housing for Women is sort of a new initiative over the past couple years, and we saw the concert in that slideshow as well. They don't have to be big. Sometimes we can feel a little bit intimidated because the problems are so large. How can we possibly make a difference? But it's amazing what a cup of water or a sandwich or a gently used coat or a new pair of socks can do to remind people that they have dignity, that they are cared about. In fact, that God loves them just as much as anybody else and just the way they are. My friends, this is our invitation. Our faith in Jesus and Jesus' grace is what saves us. But if our faith is real, Jesus says it will turn into this desire to help those who haven't met Jesus yet, or some that have, to be loved and to be cared for. God cares about how we use our time, our talent, and our treasure while we wait for Jesus to return. And he blesses it and he smiles every time it happens. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you. We will pray again shortly about how much we are grateful for your blessings, but I say it again. God, thank you for all that you've blessed us with. Help us to live out our faith in the ways that we can show love to those who often get ignored. Thank you for the ways we already do that and for the legacy of the Queensway Social Action Group. Help us, God, to always be looking for where you're at work in our neighborhood, with our friends and our family. And may we participate and see your work done. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.